our harvest Sunday. Now, each, obviously, Lord's Day in Presbyterian thought is equal. Each occasion to hear of grace and each occasion to hear of Christ magnified. But we do annually give two services, morning and an evening, give special thanksgiving to the Lord for his material provisions to us. And as it happens this harvest, I'm on morning and evening. It's a rare occasion in recent times, but as I had two services before me, I reasoned about text and topic. And I thought to preach two facets of the eighth command. In the morning here now, what's required of us as good Christian stewards of our treasure. In the evening, to think more deeply about how the eighth relates to matters of work and how we should not steal. Tonight, thinking about why we work and figuring out what we're called to do. So I encourage you to come out, make special effort on this Harvest Sunday to hear the word and worship again with choir and your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's this evening at 6:30 about work. But this morning, about treasure, about dealing with worldly treasure and thinking about heavenly treasure. And it's from, as I read out from Matthew 6, Christ's Sermon on the Mount. And specifically here in 19 to 21, Christ is challenging those who heard it about the worldly harvest, verse 19, and points then to where our true treasure should lie, verse 20. It's a positive exposition of the eighth command. Christ knows, he spoke it, you shall not steal. But here he is saying to the people, you shall put God first with your worldly goods and stuff. You should share. That's the positive requirement of the eighth. If the eighth negative says do not steal, then the positive, you should share. You should give the glory to the Lord and indeed work to the good of your neighbor. So, thinking about the eighth and thinking about sharing and not stealing and so on and so forth, it's important to say and to lay down at the very start, that this is a lesson. This is a lesson for those who are graciously saved into the kingdom, whom God has redeemed. It's a lesson on how now to live. Not a lesson on how to be saved. As in, if I could keep these commandments, if I could keep all of the Ten Commandments, well, then I will be saved. That's not the message of the tenth. That's not Christ's understanding of the tenth. It's not the understanding as was given to the Israelites. They were redeemed and saved from the land of Egypt. And then the Lord gave to them the 10 words. Here now is how you're to live. So for us, it is how now we should live as God's people. Is a message to believers. But it also serves as a testimony to those who are not saved here this morning. Am I thinking that I'm right by my work? Am I thinking that I am working some kind of a saving by keeping the commandments, by not stealing? Well, the actual fact is it could never be enough. You know, we're born into this world with a nature that is bent sinwards. It's worked through and through us. It can't be straightened by the work of our own hands. The stink of death that's upon us can't be forgiven by a just God without sacrifice. And a suitable sacrifice. And we know this to be true. We know that our nature is bad. You're sitting here and you're maybe thinking to yourself, well, I have not overtly stolen. I haven't put a mask over my head and gone into the local spa and robbed somebody. But, you want to truly gain a sense of sin and a knowledge of sin? Well, search your hearts. You can remark upon the many opportunities where you have had to share, had to give, and yet evil and greed has had the victory. We cannot help ourselves. We cannot help ourselves. By our nature, we're born in sin. Even look at the events across the water. All that opportunity to do good for others and the country in the premiership as prime minister. All that wonderful opportunity. All the resources of government and the land. A great majority. Great advantage with majority in the House of Commons. And yet this summer we have seen two prime ministers fall on their sword following pride, disharmony, sin, selfishness, and maybe one of those coming back for more. We shall see. Look a further and somewhat even more seriously, it was happening in the land of Ukraine. What is that if not the attempt of theft of a country by Mr. Putin? He sees their gas, he sees their oil, he sees their people, and he wants it for himself. We're born. We want this world and its possessions for our own. And it has been that way since the first fruit was stolen. God owned that tree, didn't he? We talked about this with the little ones. Even from the very youngest, she was able to speak of how God had given that fruit and said, "Do not take it." And Adam and Eve took it. Stole it, didn't they? They stole that apple or that fruit. God said, "Don't take it." And they took it. They desired it and they took it. And the result of that theft has echoed, marked us down through our generations. Our first father and our first mother were thieves. And we are thieves. We are thieves. We steal from God. We do not give to him the glory that he is due. But praise God that he promised salvation in that garden. He kept the people, provided the Redeemer of his elect. And our cry is answered in our gracious God who forgives us, covers us in Christ who died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And he grants us now new life and new power to live seeking God, to live serving God. And this harvest morning, we want to think about what it is to live, to serve God with our possessions. How we should we think about our possessions? What's your treasure here this morning? Well, let me give you these two areas. We're going to look firstly at what's required of us with our earthly treasure. Think about it in our families, in our church, and in wider society. And then secondly, how we live as one who seeks God's treasure. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Now first, dealing with worldly treasure. The Bible tells us in the 8th command, do not steal. And Christ enjoins us here not to hoard treasure on earth, not to gather up big piles of stuff for oneself, to squirrel it away, to say, mine, 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 and no one else is getting it. Well, what is the world's treasure? What is this stuff that we speak of? Well, as Christians, we have to deal with the fact that the world, the earth, is full of stuff, full of food, possessions, property, land, and money as a means of exchange between those possessions, all that stuff. Now, we say at harvest time, every harvest, the earth the world, the earth and the world, the fullness of it belongs to the Lord. He created the heavens and the earth. He owns the cattle, as the psalmist speaks of a thousand hills. Ultimately, God's name is on the atom of every atom in this universe. God's name is on it. He's the owner. You put it colloquially, the V5 for the universe, as it were, is under the Lord's name, and it cannot be transferred. And yet he does allow us the use of the resource in this world, in this universe. Under his ownership of all the world's treasure, he grants us a possession. You can rightfully go home for lunchtime. And you can lock the door. If you lock the door whenever you get home, you can lock it and you can say, "This house is mine. This house is mine. It's my home." You can put on the Sunday roast and you can say, "Yes, I can eat this. This is mine. God has granted me this as my possession." You can go out into the car park and you can push the fob on your car key and it will unlock. And you can say, "Well, that car, I can expect to drive off in that car and not somebody else's car." That is an understanding of our possessions, that they are ours, given to us by God, but they are ours. We're not old school communists here this morning. There are threads within that ideology that clash with the biblical concept of private property under the Lord. You might say, "Well, what about the believers in Acts who shared all things and had stuff in common?" Well, that's it. In order to share, isn't it, they had to have stuff of their own. And it was not overruled, but it was in love that they shared. You have possessions, you have stuff, I have possessions and stuff. Consider the home. From our littlest moments, we have that nuggie blanket that is ours. We have that teddy that is ours. We have that toy, and it is not for others to take without our permission. In our home anyway, and I'm sure it's in yours as the same, we all like our own stuff. We all like our own stuff. And maybe there are plenty of moments to test our sharing. Maybe there is somewhere where you always sit. Is there somewhere where you always sit? And then somebody sits in that seat. Well, that's a testing moment sometimes. Maybe if you're little, there's somebody, you have that toy and then somebody takes it. Maybe someone takes your iPad or your tablet or your Switch and you're not happy. Tension arises. It's in the family, you know, the family where we first learn about not laying up treasures for yourself on earth. In the family. Christ tells us not to hoard. Don't lay up earthly treasures. The first place that's required, the first place that's lived out, is in the family home. Are our family homes places where lessons of right requiring possessions are lived out? You know, there are two ways that God gives us to gives to us where we legitimately acquire stuff. We can work for it, or we can be given it. We can be given it in love, or we can be given it in inheritance. But we can work for it, or we can be given it. There's two ways that you gain worldly treasure. In our homes, our children, our grandchildren, maybe, they see us work and receive money for labor, or whether present or labor in the past, which pays for things. They understand that, and they are to be taught that. Yet they are not in our homes expected to work for their supper, as it were, as a rule. They are given all things, aren't they not, in love. We teach them how to handle such an overflow. We teach our little ones grace and our gratitude and humility. One of the first things that you teach a little one? To say thank you. To say thank you. We teach them about sharing, about fleeing pride and boastfulness and selfishness. And you know what, as a father, and I'm sure you would share the same thoughts as well, that's serious hard work in an era where it is to switch on our televisions or it's on the tablet, to have our youth's gaze filled with adverts and attempted to stir up envy and greed. Not just our little ones. It's the same for us older ones, isn't it, as well? The adverts even these days are more insidious because it isn't just random ones like in the old days on TV without targeting. now. Now they follow you across the internet. Such a sweet-sounding word, a cookie, isn't it? But actually, it's something that follows you across the internet and tells everybody else what you buy or what you're interested in, and then they sell things to you. Or they try to sell things to you to play upon your greed and to get you to hoard earthly treasure. It's a powerful word here to mark our homes, our little ones, us as adults, to mark it, where we're assaulted by discontentment, rampant consumerism, and materialism. Christ's word, even later in the passage, is a word to us. Don't be anxious. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. Perhaps in our homes we are assaulted by thoughts of, well, will we have enough for this winter? What are we to do? Every time we go to the shop, stuff seems to go up another 10 pence or 20 pence, and it adds up. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. That's not glib. You'll have to work or be given to meet those demands, and you may not have as much. Yet the Bible tells us God is faithful. God is faithful. The second place that we're instructed not to hoard or lay up our treasures is lived out. Live them out amongst our church family. We live here together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have varying jobs. We all have varying standings and possessions. There are those who are rich in earthly treasure, and there are those who are poor. Yet we share one invaluable Lord and Savior. And our relationship to our earthly treasure and earthly wealth is lived out before each other in our kindness, in our generosity, in our sharing of talents. And we demonstrate our faithfulness to God and indeed our service and love to our neighbor. 1 John 3:17. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? We here seek the good, and you do it. I try to do it. We seek the good and care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Furthermore, with our wealth, the word searches us to see how we return to the Lord that financial wealth that he's entrusted us with through work or gift. The tithe belongs to him. And our free will offerings, we give to him. No one ought to desire to steal from the Lord. He wants our first fruits. And you as a congregation have been so faithful. I think I heard at the last committee, maybe we're going to wait on a formal announcement, but we are in a position, aren't we, to clear our loan. That's the building loan, as it were. That's amazing. I think we took it, was it 10 years or something like that? There, 10 years. I'm not much good at mathematics, but I definitely think we're a good bit shorter than that from whenever we started it. And that will be cleared, if not already, then very, 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 we're in a position to clear it, so it just needs to be done. You are rich in good deeds and generosity to share with one another. Keep going. Keep pressing on. The final place that in that instruction not to hoard and lay up treasures that's lived out is before the world. As one's neighbor's possessions come before our gaze, temptation, envy, desire, the wrath of worldliness assaults your heart and mine, the Christian's heart. Worldly possessions are worldly, and their ownership is claimed by various people in the world. And the instruction is that you shall not take what is not yours. But we're not to hoard that which is ours, to devote our lives to dying with the most toys. That's vulgar. It goes against Christ's command here. We're required to live out publicly before the world and society around our life in Christ and what Christ has given to us. The Shorter Catechism applies the eighth positively here to ask us to seek the good and prosperity of others. It's not good enough not just to simply not take their stuff, but rather we as a people, Christian people, living out before the world around us, we are to seek their good and prosperity. live in such a way that their good is furthered. And we obviously have varying capacities to live that out. To the one with a needy neighbor who is perhaps elderly or frail or in economic distress, worried about this winter, you have maybe special opportunity to share and speak to us to see if we can help. To the one in work, are you giving your best? Post-COVID, it's hard, isn't it? We feel like we can't take any more on. But how might we best serve God and bless our neighbor? To the one employing others, managing, what generosity is opened before you? The one in public service, maybe with grand budgets and big designs. Are there the little people, neighbors in the Lord, in the society around, who you would have opportunity to seek the good and prosperity of? That we may not hoard earthly treasure, but share. What good it is to hear of what is required of us with our earthly treasure. But if it's your hope, if treasure, earthly treasure, is your hope, then it's also your master, and you will never live different. Materialism will be your mark. In order to do all those things that I've just been saying as Christians, we must recognize that there's a new master, a new hope, a new life, a living, seeking God's treasure. Let me remind you, in Christ, friends, we are a blood-bought people, a people of the kingdom of God. Our Savior gave his life for us, that we might know the forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future, that we might escape that awful judgment day, that awful, awful judgment day, where the Lord will come and judge the thief in wrath and into a lost eternity. We are guilty. We stole from the Lord. We owe everything to him. And we're born saying, mine. And yet there is grace. We can be forgiven by his sacrifice and his righteousness. Our hope for eternity is in him. That God will take care of us in the future, in the present, and our past taken care of. What is heaven's treasure if not Jesus Christ? What is heaven's treasure if not Jesus Christ, who died for thieves such as us? Where should you lay up your treasure here? With him, seeking after him, life in Jesus by God's grace. With him, there is a radical heart transplant. We're given a new one, one that beats for Christ, a heart that desires him, a heart that desires the treasures of God. A heart that sees the treasures of this world as fleeting, as passing away, whether by usage, by decay, or natural process, or even thievery itself. Everything of earth claimed by us, well, one day we will see taken from us, or we will have to give up. Save Jesus Christ. Save Jesus Christ. What is given to us by him will never be taken away. His treasure, well, decay will not touch, moth will not destroy, and no prince of the air, of evil, will steal away. What is your treasure? What is your hope? It is not our pension, it is not our house, it is not our bank account, it must be Christ. It is in him whom we bring our full harvest thanksgiving. Proverbs 10 and 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. We are made rich in God through Christ Jesus, who became poor for us. I speak of rest, and have you entered into that rest this morning? Rest in Christ. Are you saving your treasure with him? Is your heart claimed and owned by Jesus Christ? Today is a harvest day, a day of grace. Repent of sin. Come, friend, with thanksgiving if you have not already. Name him Lord of your life if you have not already. And you will never rue that investment. True wealth and happiness are found with the Lord. And he gives his redeemed children new hearts to be good servants of the wealth and the estate that we receive from him. And it enables us to face an uncertain winter with much worry about the economics, heating, eating, confident not in ourselves, but in what we receive from the Lord. He knows what we need, and he blesses us that we might share. Come this evening, as we ponder more into what the 8 has to say about how we gain earthly treasure, about work, that we may heed not steal, do not steal. But this morning, may the Lord add this blessing to the word, enable us to do that which the 8 requires. We're going to end our time.